Read Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1 again. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananeel. We're looking at this interesting chapter. You may not think there is much here and reading all these different names, but I'm sure if you studied it, you realize there's actually a lot that we can pick up from even this chapter. Very interesting things indeed. So I've titled the message for today, The Working Church. Just as you see here, all the people got together to work. Well, we saw in our last couple of lessons how God opened the way for Nehemiah to leave Babylon and then to return to Jerusalem to do what God had put into his heart, to rebuild the walls, to set up the defenses again for Jerusalem, to remove some of that reproach that was there, and how on his return to Jerusalem, well, he went under the cover of darkness to first inspect the walls and see what needed to be done. And then at a certain point he told the Jews who had been residing in Jerusalem about how God had been so good, the divine favor that he had received and through the king, and how the king had been favorable to give them the materials that they need for rebuilding and given the protection, and how the hand of God was upon Nehemiah. And we read in chapter 2, verse 18, that when they heard all these things, they said, "Let us rise up and build." And this is what they now set about doing in chapter 3. What took them so long? Why did they not do any work, the work before? How could they live with the walls around about Jerusalem in the state that it was in, and not see it and pass through it and pass by it? Every day they would see this, and it made no effect upon their hearts, upon their minds. Had they grown content? Content that the temple was now back in operation? Content with Ezra's reforms that he had put in place and left it at that? It seems to a certain degree that that's what had happened. And they hadn't realized that there was still so much work that needed to be done. And just as we begin our thinking on this passage this evening, we could think of that, you know, as churches as well, isn't it? Today the church could end up in such a state as well. Maybe they're reformed churches, evangelical churches, and they glory in a good way, in the Reformation, in the doctrines of grace. They have those things, and they value them, and they preach them, and teach them. But then they don't set about, they don't seem to realize that there's still work to be done. And maybe they just hold on to the past, and don't realize that there's still so much work to do in terms of evangelism and reaching out to the church. And they stop working, and they enjoy the doctrines, they enjoy the teachings of the word, enjoy the church history that we have, that wonderful history of God's working, but maybe they've stopped and don't realize. And I think when I look sometimes, and I'm sure you do too, at the church situation today, we have to ask ourselves, well, I think we need another reformation. I think we need another change, a complete reformation. And oh, that God would raise up, in a sense, another Luther to throw out all the drums and all the contemporary music that we have around us. It's still, isn't it? It's such a the rock music, the rap, all these things that are coming in, have come into the church and have been accepted in the church as part of the worship of God. Well, there's a lot to be done. We pray. We hope that churches will realize these things. But here, encouragingly, the people rise up and build. They said, "Let us rise up and build." And to their credit, this is exactly what they do. They don't waste any time. They willingly apply themselves to the work. Different groups taking up a different portion of the wall. Most likely Nehemiah and the leaders, well, they had arranged everything, they planned everything, and then they apportioned to different people, different parts of the wall, so that every part was covered, nothing was left unattended to, unrepaired. Every area was seen to, no part was neglected. And these different people came together to do this building work, getting their hands dirty, hands-on work, physical work, bricks and mortar. I don't know how they made mortar in those days, but I'm not a bricklayer or anything like that, but in terms of stirring all that mortar, well, that would have been quite difficult work as well. Carpentry work, I'm sure, was needed. The timber was provided, but they had to prepare the materials, put everything together. Heavy loads needed to be carried. So it wasn't an easy job by the least. But all these different families, and we see different kinds of families, great families and ordinary families, all coming together to contribute to the work. People also came from outside Jerusalem. The work was to protect Jerusalem, to build the walls of Jerusalem. But we see Jews who came from different cities. Also, they didn't just rest in their cities and say, oh, we're okay in our city, no one's going to attack us, we're okay in our vineyard, let the Jews in Jerusalem deal with that. No, they also felt we must contribute. We must go and do our part for the work. And so they worked here shoulder to shoulder. And that's what we can pick up even from these verses when it says, next unto them repaired Malathiah the Gibeonite, next unto him Uzziel, next unto him repaired Rephaiah. One by one, each section is covered, and they're working in a united way, united for the cause. And it must have been a very beautiful sight to see, looking from the outside, to looking in and looking at, observing all these Jews are on the around the temple, building with their building materials, working together to get the job done. So organized and so wonderful way that they worked in unity and harmony with one purpose in mind, to rebuild the broken gates and walls. And what a picture it is, friends, isn't it, of the working church. All of us working together, every member working together, everyone, no matter what our background, no matter what our culture, no matter what our status in life, everyone contributing a part, doing something that we can for the Lord and for the cause. Everyone having a mind to work, remembering, as we said last week, this is a good work that the Lord has given us to do. This is a lasting work. The work to do with people's souls. The work to bring people into the kingdom of God. A work that will go on for eternity. That will be remembered for eternity. We are involved in such a glorious cause. So we come as well from our different nationalities and our different backgrounds and our different levels of life, and yet united for the Lord. Working together in an orderly and organized way. And I'm sure people who see us, who come in and who see us working together, will also see it as a beautiful thing. So he said as well, not everyone from Jerusalem, people from outside Jerusalem also came and contributed to the work there. And I think there's a lesson there for us as well, that while we focus on our local church and we love our local church here, yet we also think about other local churches, and we think about our sister churches, and well, how can we help them? What can we do? Of course we pray for them. That's a big thing that we can do for them. We can contribute financially to them. We can help them in other ways also by inquiring after them, and also maybe Other brethren, as we've seen, want to help us. Other brethren want to have a part in our work here and to encourage us, and who want to pray for us, and who want to give to us, who want to help us also in some way. And we see that also in recent weeks. But let's just look a little bit more at some of these verses, which can give us some other further lessons. So verse 1, then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. Elisha is the high priest now. He's also the grandson of the high priest who returned, was on the return from exile, the very first return under Zerubbabel. But here we see that he took up responsibility for the sheep gate and the area of the wall unto the tower of Hananiel. The sheep gate was located in the north part of Jerusalem, and the sheep that were to be sacrificed for the temple were brought through that north gate. So they'd be first washed in the sheep pool, and then they would be brought through the temple, brought through the gate to the temple for where they would be sacrificed. It was also the common entrance for the people into the temple. The public entrance was through that sheep gate. It was the very sheep gate that even Christ would have walked through on many occasions as he went to the temple. And we remember him, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. But here we see that Eliashib sets a good example as the high priest. He and the fellow priests rise up to build the wall. Now we'll read later that he actually sides with the enemy. He actually either changes, or rather here, maybe here, he's already in alliance with him, but he's going to change later on. But here now, he is actually setting a very good example for the people to follow. And it's a lesson for us who are ministers and pastors and leaders, elders in the church. Well, we are to set a good example, to take the lead, to give that example for the other believers, the other members in the church also to follow. And then we see how they, and this is the only part where we read about sanctifying this gate and this wall. They sanctified the doors and the part of the wall that appertained to them. They set it apart with prayer and seeking God's blessing. They set it apart as a holy work. Later on, the whole wall will be sanctified and thanks be given to God. But here we see just this part, the initial part, the first part, is sanctified. And that's a good thing also for us to do, to whatever we do for the Lord, to do it as for him, to set it apart, to do it with prayer. Even our daily work that we do, of course, church work, every aspect of church work, our evangelism, our Sunday school, should be set apart for the Lord. But even our daily work, whether it's in the office or out on the roads or wherever God has placed us, even in the homes, we could sanctify everything for the Lord, to do it as unto him. But then look at verse 5. Verse 5, we read about the Tekoites who repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Why does it say the nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord? Why doesn't it say, I would expect it to say they didn't put their hands to the work of the Lord. Why does it say necks? Well, the reason it says necks is because it's referring to the oxen. So like when the oxen were to go out into the fields, to work the fields, well, they would put the yoke upon those oxen so that they were ready for the work, so that they would do the work in the fields. And that's what this verse is referring to, that the nobles were refused to volunteer their necks for labor. They didn't want to do it. They saw it as maybe beneath them. They're higher up now. They're a different level of people. They're a different class, a higher class, and they didn't want to get their hands dirty. They didn't want to subject themselves to serve others or to serve. They wanted to be served. And what a shame that they were like this. And it's recorded now in Scripture. Inscripturated here for us all to read. Now, so many thousands of years later, we're reading about their refusal to serve. And what a pity for them. But are any of us like this? Are any of us unwilling to engage in the work? Maybe because it will rob us of our personal time, or because it's uncomfortable for us to do, or not something that we're used to doing, or we have to check ourselves. But look at these Tekoites, the ordinary Tekoites, who are a different spirit. They applied themselves to the work here, and then, if you look at verse 27, again, after them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. They took on more than was allotted to them. They said, we're up for more. Whether they finished their part first and then took on more, or whether they just put themselves forward to do two parts, I don't know. But they were willing to do more, to go the second mile. And also, they weren't the only ones. In verse 4, we read about Meremoth. Next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah. And then in verse 21, we read the same Meremoth. After him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, and so on. Another section. So he as well took on this extra responsibility. And again, it's a lesson for us. Can I take on a little bit more? Can I do a bit more for the Lord, for the Lord's work? I'm helping out in Sunday school. Can I teach Sunday school? Can I visit the parents? I'm helping out with the cleaning in the church. Can I do a bit more? Can I phone people and inquire after people? Can I care for the elderly or friends who are in great need? We can always think about, ask ourselves this question, can I do something more for the Lord? Go the extra mile for him. And then verse 12, we read about the daughters of Shallum, the son of Halohesh. And you haven't said this, but the order that this building is put forward in chapter 3, it goes from the north in an anti-clock direction, all the way back around north, west, south, east, in that sort of direction, all the way back up to north. But here in verse 12, we see that the daughters also put their hand to the work. This man's daughters, this who was a ruler, well, they were not so unwilling. The daughters not so brought up to turn away from hard work and difficult work. But here we see that they desire to be involved as well, to make their own personal contribution. I think it's unlikely that they probably did physical work, the building work, maybe. I remember when I was in China, I was very surprised, very, very surprised to see women on building sites, and sometimes with their bare hands breaking down buildings, demolishing buildings with their hands and tools. And very hard-working, the women there. We in this country, I think, most of the time we just see the men, and the women are telling them what to do. But here we see the women didn't want to be excluded. And maybe they did physical work, or maybe they gave of their finances, they were from a rich family, or in some other physical way, they did their part, they put in some effort for the work. And so also we value every member, male and female. It's not only for men the work of God, even women are included. Verse 13, we see about Hanun repaired the valley gate, which is right on the southwest corner, all the way to the dung gate, which was on the southeast corner. And that was a long stretch. You read here, 1,000 cubits on the wall. The whole of the southern section, it seems, he undertook to do. A very, very long stretch. 1,000 cubits, around 457 meters. So that's a huge amount. And yet this one man and his family and the inhabitants of Noah said, we'll do it. We'll take that part. And so they were willing to take on also a bit more. But then verse 14 is interesting. The dung gate, the gate, the refuse gate, the gate where all the rubbish and the sewage of the city would be transported. Who wants to do that? That really is dirty work. Any volunteers for the dung gate? No one stood forward. Who's going to stand forward for that? Oh, here comes this man, Malchiah. I'll do it. I'll take up that part. I'll repair that part. I will build the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and so on. And perhaps while others were reluctant, he stood forward to do this somewhat dirtier job. But again, a lesson for us, there are menial jobs to be done in the church. Who will do the menial jobs? Who will be willing to take up some of these tasks which are unwanted and maybe not in the public eye or hidden away somewhere? And then verse 20, we read about Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. And the word here, thing I want us to just notice is the way that he repaired his pieces. The only one this is the only person it said of that he earnestly repaired the other piece. Earnestly to burn, to glow with warmth. This is how he carried out his work. He did his work with diligence and enthusiasm, and he was hearty in his work. And he was so willing to do his work. He was diligent on the job, and he didn't waste any time. Interesting also, this word is also used to mean hot with anger. And perhaps he may have been angry with himself for his slothfulness. And so he applied himself with greater diligence to carrying it out with a greater zeal. And there's a lesson for us, isn't it? An obvious lesson, how we are to carry out our work. Yes, we do our work heartily, do it out of love, not because we have to do it, or because we are forced to do it, or the pastor says we should do it, but we want to do it out of love for the Lord. To be a cheerful giver to the Lord and his work, and to do it as best as we can for his name's sake, with zeal and diligence and not slacking. Well, in closing, I just say this one more thing. Nehemiah here records the names of those who did the work. A record, friends, is made. And now we are studying these names and what they have done. And it's as if to say that all their efforts of these people, well, they'll not be forgotten. The good that they have done, well, it's all recorded. It's not for vain glory. It's not for their praise in the wrong sense, but for the Lord. He knows all things. In verse Hebrews 6 and verse 10, we read a verse like this: "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God records the things that we do out of love for him and for his people and for his church and for one another. Everything is recorded. Everything is known to him. That cup of cold water given in his name is known by him. We don't do it, as we said, for our own praise, for our own honor or advance, but for him. I do remember a pastor in another country, and he was talking actually on Nehemiah chapter 11, and where again there's a list of names of the Levites and so on. And he thought it was a good idea for him to mention the names of the full-time workers that his church supports. And he went on giving a list from the pulpit in the Bible study of the names of this person in this country and this person in that country we're supporting, and we've trained this person and that person and sent them out here, and this is what we're doing. And he said, there's no church like our church in this country. It's another country, not the UK. And then he went on to say, I know no church on the face of the earth like our church. Well, that's not what we want to be saying, I think. That's not what we do these things for. If we are supporting people, we shouldn't be bragging about it, especially in public. And it's all for the Lord's glory, not for our own, that we do these things. So, in conclusion, friends, a working church, thank God for his help he's given to us to work. Let us continue to work together with one mind, attending to everything in that sanctified thought, sanctified way. This is for the Lord. Can we double our service? Remember to do it diligently and fervently for him.